Our Lord is coming.
Yes, he is.
Amen. I'm looking forward to his returning. I'm looking forward to my exodus. And the world's just going to have to deal with it both.
That's right.
Hallelujah. Bless them, Lord.
This is a true saying right here. Just any day now.
Just any day.
It's just going to work. Open just any day now.
Friends getting low in the hourglass. Glad he's coming back. I've about had enough.
Boy, you're right.
Amen. And the world, I tell you what, they're turning more like hell every day.
Amen.
There wasn't no room for him when he came the first time, and they about made full circle.
Amen. That's right.
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus.
We got a bunch down here. You can call them fake news, full of it, whatever you want to call them.
That's right.
But they jump up and say, where is the promise of His coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all the things continue. And they just don't, the Bible said that for this cause they're ignorant. That by the word of the Lord, I'm trying to about half quote out of, and I ain't going to preach out of this, but I want to read this real quick out of 2 Peter chapter 3. Mm-hmm. Peter here, he said, this second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you both, which I stir up your cruel minds by way of remembrance, that you might be mindful of the words which were spoken before the holy prophets and of the apostles concerning... hold on a minute. Be mindful of the words were spoken for by the holy prophets and of the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, yep, walking after their own lust, saying, where is the promise of His coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world then that then was being overflowed with water perished, but the heavens and the earth, which are now by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. They sung that song just any day now, and that's still true.
That's right.
Just any day now.
Amen.
Jesus said, an hour you think not, He's coming. And He said, what I say unto you, I say unto all, watch. Oh, me. Well, while we're in Peter, we'll just take our text out of the book of Peter. We don't have a whole lot of people here this morning, but we got enough to have church. Amen.
Right.
He said, wherever two or three are gathered together in His name, right, He said, lo, I'm in the midst. I like it when He gets in the midst. Amen.
Amen.
That's right. Hallelujah. I got my my tie here with the embroidering on it from Landmark Baptist Church. Man, I tell you what, that'll help anybody. I feel pretty much like preaching this morning. We'll take our text out of 1 Peter chapter 2. We'll read two verses right there in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 1 and verse 2. Peter again doing the speaking, and he says, wherefore, laying aside all malice, that's kind of like anger,
yeah,
and all guile, that means I'll get you, and hypocrisies, which means you say something, do something different, and envies is kind of like jealousy, and all the evil speaking. In other words, He said, just get rid of all that. He said, that's all worldly lust, worldly, fleshly problems. Here's what He says to do. As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the Word, that you may grow thereby. Now, I'm preaching this morning. I preached last Sunday on growing old, and I've done a printout of the church's website, and that service done been downloaded about 40 times. We're going to preach again about growing old, but this time we're going to preach about a different kind of growing old, about growing old in the Lord, about growing up to Christian maturity. Father, we thank You for the privilege to stand for the Word of God. We thank You, Father, for the blessing, Lord, of this beautiful day You've given us, opportunity, Lord, You've given us to gather in Your house, Lord, to sit at Your table. I pray, dear Father God, today Your Word to have free course. I pray, Lord, dear Father, Lord, You would show us, Lord, in the mirror of God, Lord, we might see ourselves as we truly are, and we might be really, Lord, to be that which You'd have us to be. And for all these favors, we ask Your blessed will. Ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, we're preaching on today, growing old. Now, let me say this. I was born to the family of Bobby and Dolores Wade, February the 20th, 1954. And I lived for 34 years as their son. I was born into the family of God, April the 27th, 1988. And I have lived 31 years as a son of God. That means I'm 65 years old. And I can say amen to that and then some. But as a child to my parents, I grew up to a man of 34 years old, and as a child of God, I also have had to grow also. Now, we're going to be reading a lot of Bible today. If you don't get to look these verses up, listen to the message, get you a CD. These are really good verses for a child of God. Paul mentioned in the church of Corinth, in 1 Corinthians chapter number 3, he said, "And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ." He said, "I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto ye were not able to bear it, neither yet now ye able, for ye are yet carnal. For whereas there is among you envy and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as men?" Paul's talking to this church in Corinth,
yeah,
and he's saying, y'all boys need to grow up.
Right.
I've been in a lot of churches that need to grow up. This is one exception of the rule. And I have to admit, there's a lot of maturity in this church, but I've been in a lot of churches where there's a lot of divisions, a lot of problems with doctrine and stuff like that, and I will be mentioning some doctrine today. But one thing we've got to do after we get saved, we need to grow up. Most Christians today don't know enough Bible to blow their nose,
right,
and Satan, right, is glad. He loves it because he has the advantage over them. They don't understand. Paul said about Satan, he said, "We're not ignorant of his devices." Now listen, I went to the public school. I went 12 years. And I graduated. The main reason I graduated is they won't see me again. I was quite ahead. But anyway, they passed. I mean, I passed like on D minus, but it's passing.
Amen.
I mean, Job said he's saved by the skin of his teeth. Well,
yeah.
I don't have no skin on my teeth, I don't think, but that's okay with me. D minus is okay with me. I said, "Mom, I passed again." And they run for cover. But anyway, I not only went to 12 years of school, I had the blessing of going to college for 2 years. When I worked at Daniel, they sent my job to Mexico. And out of that, I got a free college education. And I have to admit, in both of those instances, I learned a little bit. It does seem like I learned more in the elementary years like you, Kagan, than I did in the high school. But I'll tell you what, buddy, we all need to learn.
Right.
And the Bible says, you know, that Jesus said, "If you be my disciples," in St. John chapter 8, verse 31 and 32, he said, "If you be my disciples, continue in my word,"
yeah,
"and you'll know the truth, and the truth will make you free." We all need to grow.
Amen.
We all need to learn, and we need to learn how to be more like the Lord.
Right.
But I learned a lot going to those public schools. I learned a lot in college. I found out one thing. They could all use a good dose of the Bible, but I didn't know the Bible when I was in the public school. I did know the Bible when I went to college, and boy, it made a difference. Amen. Well, let me say this about growing in the Lord. Paul talked about in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 13, he said, "Till I come, give attendance to reading."
Yes.
He said in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15, he said, "Study, show yourself approved unto God, workman need not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." In Isaiah 34:16 says, "Read, read, read." Matter of fact, that verse says, I was kind of hoping Miranda be here this morning. And I thought about her a lot when I read this verse. Isaiah 34:16 says, "Seek ye out the book of the Lord and read. No one of these shall fail." Now, I hated to fail them tests, but most of the time I wouldn't see it. I'd have to take them home. She'd have a sign. She'd sing it. It'd be a big help or something. You'd have to do better. But he said, "Seek ye out the book of the Lord and read. No one of these shall fail." I didn't like failing. But you know how to keep from failing? You study. You
right.
read.
Right.
You get familiar with what the right. test is about. They passed me out a test. I thought I could wing it. I found out my wing wasn't as big as I thought it was. But anyway, he said, "Seek ye out the book of the Lord that you seek ye out the book of the Lord and read. No one of these shall fail. None shall want her mate." Did you notice that wording? None shall want her mate.
Yeah.
Every woman ought to be thankful that God gave her a Bible to learn how to put up with her husband. My poor wife was here, she'd say amen to that for sure.
Yeah.
But God tells, if you'll stay in that book, he said you won't have to worry about losing your mate. You'll learn how to put up with each other.
Right.
You'll learn how to forbear one another. You'll learn how to forgive one another. I remember one time I told my wife, I said, "I don't care who's right, who's wrong. I just want you to forgive me. I had it up to here with this. But you know what? You'll learn a lot if you read that Bible. You'll find in there there's some things you need in this present life. You'll find out there's some things let you know about the life to come. There's a lot in this Bible. Most of the critics of this Bible don't know nothing about the Bible. But Isaiah 34:16, a tremendous verse. Seek ye out the book of the Lord and read. No one of these shall fail. None shall want her mate. For my mouth has commanded and his spirit is gathered. That's a promise from God.
Yeah.
Let me say this about growing. I started reading my Bible with a passion. I would read it a lot at work. I got a lot of ridicule. I didn't care. I was determined I was going to read that Bible. I read my Bible at home. My wife, she'd chide with me. I never did read the Bible. She better be glad I did. Mm-hmm. I found out somehow, you know, how we could get along if I could learn how to shut my mouth time or two and learn how to walk away. Somehow learn how to run away if need be. But you know what? That Bible helped me. It did, Brother Mitchell. But listen, not only reading my Bible at work, and I've done most of my Bible reading at work, on break and on lunch, and reading my Bible at home, I've done a lot of that also. But I remember one time in particular, my wife, she had to have some surgery in Bowling Green, and I knew it was going to be there for pretty much part of the whole day. And I took my Bible with me to the waiting room down there, and it's kind of like an outpatient type surgery, but anyway, it was going to take a while. I took my Bible with me. Internet waiting room reader. And it's kind of like a big redundant, if you know what I mean. It's a pretty good size area there. And it had like a big skylight there, you know. It was lit up real good from the light of the sunshine through. And I didn't just jump right in the middle of everybody in there and start reading my Bible. I was kind of discreet. I found me a good comfortable chair over there, and I sat down and opened up my Bible, and I started reading it. And this woman sitting fairly close to me, she got up and moved. Everybody got clear in there through. Finally, somebody said, well, I never. We having church or what now? They gave me that whole room. I got it all to myself. Yeah. But you know that word, it's kind of an offense. It offends a lot of people.
Yes, it does.
And we sort of shun it for that reason. But the Bible says we ought to give the most earnest heed to it. We need it to grow. I'm telling you, if you come up on a car wreck and there's somebody in there and they're not going to make it, would you know enough Bible to be able to tell them how to get saved? Amen. I'm telling you, we're carrying that message, that treasure in these earthen vessels. We need to learn how to tell somebody to call up on the name of the Lord, to believe on Him for forgiveness, for salvation, for having a home in heaven. You need to know enough Bible to do that. Amen.
Amen.
I never will forget the reaction I got reading my Bible down there in the Bowling Green waiting room. You thought I had a plague or something. I mean, they just kept squirming and grunting and clearing their throat. Finally, one of them, Sister Joanne, he said, well, I never.
Well,
they may not ever, but they might need to see somebody reading their Bible.
That's right.
Maybe somebody there thought, you know what? I could do what he did. You know what? I talked about reading my Bible out there at work. You ever seen them men's faces when I come in the break room and plop that Bible on the... We had kind of like a picnic table right there in the break room.
Amen.
I flipped that Bible out on that table, and it got earth, I mean, deathly quiet. I mean, buddy, you could hear the crickets.
Yeah.
I mean, there wasn't a peep, and there was, you know, there wasn't a whole lot of even people breathing or nothing. It was just kind of like, I can't believe he brought a Bible in there. It wasn't too long, you know what, there was two Bibles plopped out of there. And then three,
amen.
Then four,
amen.
Then five, and then ten. The next amen. Thing you know, I had to go to the cafeteria. Right. Man, it had been an epidemic. I tell you, there was a lot of good come out of that. One thing, I was in there one time, reading my Bible, minding my business. I wasn't saying nothing, nobody, nothing, just had my nose in the book, reading it. And old David Brown, we called him Super out there at work. He's the deacon of a church now. But he come in there, and he was pretty witty, and he could just about get you on just about anything. But he come in there and tried to figure out a way of dealing with a man reading the Bible in the break room. He said to me, Jerry, he said, is there any word from the Lord? I said, yeah. And he sat down there, and I just turned my Bible right over to him. And at that time, I was reading Psalms chapter 51, where David's praying about his sin he just committed with Bathsheba, where David said, against thee and thee only have I sinned, done this evil in thy sight, thou might be just when thou judgest, clear when thou speakest. And you know, I said, yeah, there is. I put my finger right there on Psalm 51. He started reading that Psalm 51, big tears started dripping off his cheeks.
Amen.
And he didn't just cry. I mean, buddy, he was whacking, sobbing to the point. Even I got up, lifted him in that. We all left him in that break room with that Bible. He's in there a long time. And he finally come out, boy, brought that Bible to me, and he said, I needed that. Thank you. He's a deacon of church now. But that word is so quick and so powerful. I'm telling you, that word will get the job done. And it will help you to grow. The more Bible you know, the more you're able to stand against the wiles of the devil. The more you're able to be rooted and grounded on the Word of God. I'll tell you, it's a sure foundation. Amen.
Right.
I've done a lot of Bible reading. Amen. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. Romans 10:17, I have people all the time tell me, boy, brother Eddie, I wish I had more faith. I said, well, I'll tell you where the fountain is. Go get your Bible out and open it up. You can have all the faith you want.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you what, buddy, God has supplied our needs out of His riches and glory. Even though we don't give the most earnest heed to this Word, we ought to give the most earnest heed to it.
Right.
In Hebrews chapter 2, verse 1, Paul, let me say this about Apostle Paul. A lot of people you'll meet, they won't know anything. They won't know nothing about church. They won't know nothing about the Bible. They won't know nothing about doctrine or nothing like that. And I appreciate Sister Rita. She's almost always right on time.
Yeah.
But she wrote this track right here. I got my own religion. The last time she had one of the butterfly on, I was preaching about a worm right on the money.
Yeah.
She got this right here. I got my own religion. Well, Apostle Paul, before he was Apostle Paul, he was called Saul of Tarsus. And he was a Hebrew of the Hebrews. And, you know, it's hard to talk to somebody about the Bible when they've learned something contrary to the Bible. I've had a lot of discussion with people that have been taught something other than truth. And it's actually easier to talk to someone that doesn't know nothing. But when you do talk to someone that's been told something else, there's always a little bit of contention, a little bit of somewhat of an argumentative spirit.
Yeah.
But Paul, he had to start all over again. Let me give an example. We will be looking at a lot of Bible today. But in Philippians, if you look here, Apostle Paul here, he's kind of confessing about himself here in Philippians chapter 3. And he's giving his credentials about how really he thought of himself to be something concerning God. Matter of fact, he thought he was doing God's service in what he was doing. But he says in Philippians chapter 3, verse 4, he said, though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any man thinketh that he have whereof he might trust in the flesh, he said, I more. In other words, he said, I just want you to know my credentials. He said, circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law of Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. Now Saul, before he became Paul, he persecuted Christians.
Right.
And he had them put to death. And he consented to them being put to death. But he met the chief of the church on the road to Damascus. But listen, look what he says about that. Verse 7, but what things were gained to me? He had all the high markings of the world. He had the praise of men. He had a position of, you know, of excellence. He said, but what things were gained to me? Those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ.
Yeah.
He threw it all away. And when I say he threw it all away, he had sat at the feet of Gamaliel. You can find that in Acts chapter 5, verse number 34 about this man Gamaliel. He was an expert in the law, but I don't want to go to Acts chapter 5. I want to go to Acts chapter 22. I want you to understand, buddy. And now Paul had to throw it all away. He had learned wrong. And you know, he had to be retaught. Look in Acts chapter 22. He'll pretty much tell you about it. If I can find Acts, I'll find everything but Acts. Here we go. Acts 22. Look at here, verse number 3 and 4. He said, I am verily a man which am a Jew, born in Tarsus, a city in Cilicia, yet brought up in the city at the feet of Gamaliel. Gamaliel was one of the most exceptional teachers of his day.
Right.
It was the academic perfection to be taught by this man. And taught according to the manner of the law of the fathers, and was zealous towards God, and ye are all this day, as ye are all this day, and I persecuted this way unto death, binding and delivering into prison both men and women, and also the high priest doth bear me witness, and all the estate of the elders from whom I received letters unto the brethren, and went to Damascus to bring them which were bound unto Jerusalem for to be punished. I want you to know, buddy, he said, hey, I learned from the best. Now, if you'll look in Acts 22:10, Paul had more than a close encounter. He had a head-on collision with truth. We'd probably better off to read all the way down to verse 10.
Yeah.
He said, and it came to pass. In other words, here's what happened to change what he'd been taught. That as I made my journey and was come nigh to Damascus about noon, suddenly there shone from heaven a great light round about me, and I fell to the ground and heard a voice saying unto me, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And I answered, Who art thou, Lord? And he answered unto me, I am Jesus of Nazareth, whom thou persecutest. And they that were with me saw indeed the light, and were afraid, but they heard not the voice of him that spake to me. And I said, What shall I do, Lord? And the Lord said unto me, Arise and go to Damascus, and there it shall be told thee of all things which are appointed for thee to do. I want you to know he got instructions there, and I'll get to that here in a minute. We'll go to Galatians here in a minute. But you know what? He said those people with him, they saw the light, but they didn't hear the verse. Now, a lot of people have a problem with that. They try to make a big deal out of that and say, you know, it's contradiction in the Bible and all that stuff. And I just want to throw this in here real quick. He gave his testimony about everywhere he went. In Acts chapter number 26, he's given again this same testimony. And if you'll notice, he says in verse 14 of Acts chapter 26, And when we were all fallen to the earth, I heard a voice speaking unto me, saying in the Hebrew tongue. Notice that distinction. Jesus is speaking to Saul in Hebrew. Now, it's possible that these guys, he said he spoke to him, but it's possible that could be a key to why people say, why didn't they hear it? I don't know if it is or not. But he said the Lord spoke to him and told him what to do. What did he do? Well, look over here in Galatians chapter number 1. This is kind of teaching, preaching at the same time here, but this is stuff here that the world has no knowledge of, and you may not neither, but you need it. Galatians chapter 1. What did he do? Look at verse 11. But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man.
Yeah.
For neither I received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. The man that had sat at the feet of Gamaliel, not only did he run into Jesus and truth, but he got taught by Jesus. He said, I didn't receive what I preach of man. He said, neither was I taught it by man, but by revelation of Jesus Christ. Now let me see how I can cut all this out here real quick. We'll read all the way down to verse 18. I'm afraid not to. For you have heard of my conversation in time past in the Jews' religion, how that beyond measure I persecuted the church of God and wasted it, and it profited any Jews' religion above many of my equals, in my own nation, being more exceedingly zealous of the tradition of my fathers. But would it please God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by His grace to reveal His Son in me, that I might preach Him among the heathen? Immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood, neither went I up to Jerusalem to them which were apostles before me. But listen to this. But I went into Arabia and returned again to Damascus. Then after 3 years, I went up to Jerusalem. He sat there for 3 years and received revelations from the Lord.
Right.
I just want you to know, he had not only extreme makeover, buddy, but he had to throw away everything he learned. He had to count it but dung. But I want you to notice also in Ephesians chapter 3, not only did he learn, but he wrote to us. You look here in Ephesians chapter number 3. Let's see how to bring this across here. We'll read all the way down to verse 4. For this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of the Lord Jesus, for you Gentiles, if you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given me to you word, know that by revelation He made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in a few words, whereby when you read. See, that's why you need to read. Paul got it in revelation.
Amen.
He wrote it down. But we need to read it and we need to heed it. And here he said, I wrote it to you. And when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ.
That's right.
Now, you look down about verse number 17. I'm cutting a lot of this out. He said that Jesus Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height. There's a whole lot more of this Bible than people ever give it credit for.
Amen. That's right.
You can't touch the bottom, you can't reach the top, and you'll never find the bounds on the east or west.
Amen.
I want you to know, not only is it complete, but it was given unto us pretty much by the hand of God. Not by the will of man came the Holy Scripture, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. But Paul had been told wrong. He had been raised wrong. He had to learn everything all over again. If you look down there, Ephesians chapter 4, look here what he says in verse 4. He said there's one body. This is actually seven unities. There's one body.
Yeah.
One spirit.
Right.
Even as you're called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, uh-huh, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. You notice that one faith?
Yeah.
You know why I'm so dogmatic about the King James Bible? Where does faith come from?
I hear it.
And hear it by the Word of God.
That's right.
I agree, you can read any Bible you want to.
Yeah.
The Bible says, my son, cease to hear the instruction that calls you to err from the words of truth. You can do that. You get to where you can't remember Scripture. You get to where you can't quote Scripture. You get where you, for lack of better words, you ain't as light as you used to be, because the entrance His Word gives light. But I tell you right now, growing old in the Lord, growing up to maturity, there's a certain way to do it. One of the ways is to stay in this book. If you look down in verse number 14 and 15, Paul here again, talking about growing in the Lord. He says in verse that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. Notice this, verse 15. But speaking the truth in love may grow up. And you know, I've been saved 31 years, and I have to admit, I'm as amazed as anybody else is. Man, I hit the ground running when I got saved. I just couldn't get enough of reading my Bible. I couldn't get enough of going to church. I couldn't get enough of hearing good gospel singing.
Right.
I just wanted more and more, and God will give you all you want. More you want, more He'll give you. Mm-hmm. But I will tell you this. The more I got, the closer to God I got. Everybody kept saying, Brother Eddie, you've been called to preach. You've been called to preach. I heard that for 4 years. I said, no, I'm just good and saved. I'm just good and saved. And I was good and saved.
That's right.
But all of a sudden, one day, God did call me to preach. And I still remember on a Wednesday night at Bethel Baptist Church, I remember standing up reading. I said, I want to tell y'all, I've been called to preach and I need your prayers. And sit down and have people come over and pray over me. And I will tell you this, it's like Peter said, let every man minister to the Lord gives a building. If God ain't in it, it ain't going too far. But you know what? I waited till God done his part before I tried to do my part. And I found out I can do my part a whole lot easier when he does his part.
Right.
But he made sure I understood that he had counted me faithful and put me in the ministry. That wouldn't have never happened if I hadn't have continued in his word. If I hadn't have continued to seek him and follow him and live for him. I want you to know, faithfulness is important in growing up.
Yes, it is.
I heard a testimony this week on the radio. Let's read 17 down to 19. This, I'm in Ephesians chapter 4, 17 down to 19. This I say therefore and testify in the Lord, that you henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that's in them because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over to lasciviousness, to work all uncleanness with greediness, but ye have not so learned in Christ. Now, they're ordaining gays, lesbians, and everything else today. And I'll just tell you right now, that's not of God. But if you don't know enough Bible, you don't really know no better.
That's right.
But this week, I heard a testimony on Unshackled. I think I was going to work. I think it was maybe Wednesday night, or maybe Thursday night, but I was going to work, and I heard this guy. And he kind of like, you know, had a little bit of religion. He wasn't really saved. He knew he wasn't, but he kind of come across like he was saved. But he just kept getting in trouble, trouble taken, and he was in prison. And even though he got caught red-handed, he'd done every unthinkable thing you could think of. He got drunk, he got high, he'd stole, he'd wrecked, you name it. He's in prison. And he's trying to kind of justify that he really shouldn't be in prison. And he said something, I want to try to remember what he said. Here's what he said, Brother Jerry. He said, Lord, if you was me, what would you do? The answer come immediately.
Yeah.
You know what the answer was? The Lord answered him, he said, I'd be just.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my, what an answer. He said, if you me, what would you do? And the Lord said, I'd be just.
Right.
And that just crushed him. He realized how, you know, the just for the unjust.
Right.
And how can a man be just before God? But anyway, that crushed him and he realized just how wrong he was. And after he'd repented with bitter tears, he truly got saved, got called to preach. He's pastoring church now. But he asked the Lord, what would you do if you was me? Mm-hmm. The Lord answered him, sure. And he said, I'd be just.
Right.
You see, God's a pure eyes in us. He don't get all entangled up in all these devil traps and all this speech. You know, some people are pretty good with words, and you're afraid to talk to them because they cannot talk you and they cut you to the bone with words. By the way, the Bible said the life, power of life and death is in the tongue, so some people can just about cut you to death. But anyway, a lot of people are afraid to talk to some people. I'm not. Tell them where they're at. I'll go talk to any of them. I ain't afraid of none of them. But listen, that testimony, boy, that really done me some good. Let me tell you something else that done me some good. I done mentioned this, but I want to mention it again. Me and my daughter, yesterday, we went by Hardy's restaurant. And I said, you want to get something to eat? She said, yeah, I wouldn't mind having something. We stopped at Hardy's restaurant to get something to eat. I asked her what she wanted. She said, I want a bacon, egg, and cheese. I said, okay. So I ordered first. And I said, I want one of them steak biscuit combos. She said, make mine a combo too, Dad. Anyway, we got her first one to pay for it, Brother Mitchell. And Courtney, she goes to church over at Bethel, where I come from. And she's up there at the window. And she's laughing. I said, what are you laughing about, Courtney? She said, the car in front of you paid for yours. And I said, well, I want to pay for the one behind me, man. I said, well, I'll tell you right now. I said, there was $20 here on my hand. She said, they paid for yours, Brother Ed. And I said, well, I want to get the one behind me, and I paid for theirs. And we left there reading. And I was trying to turn thanks over our food, and I couldn't get a word out. My heart was just so blessed.
Amen.
I mean, boy, there were tears dropping off my cheeks. I said, Lord, thank you for whoever that was. Bought our breakfast. I said, would you bless them like they blessed us? Just bless them real good. Tell them how thankful I am. And I said, Lord, bless that one behind us. I hope they get a blessing like that. You know, There's nothing wrong with doing right. Somebody come out with a song, what's wrong with doing right? What's wrong with living right? Something like it. Amen. Ain't nothing wrong with it. No. I don't know what in the world something wrong with us. We don't try to live righteous down the soul in this present world. That's just our reasonable service. We're striving to live right. We're do our best. Leave behind a testimony we please God. Amen. And you know what? Christian maturity will help that. But I got a blessing. But listen, if you do grow in the Lord to maturity, you'll do what Paul told Titus to do. And he gave instruction to a young preacher, Titus. And the same thing pretty much mentioned in Timothy 2, but I want to read Titus here. Titus chapter 2, we'll read the first 8 verses there. He said, but speak thou the things which become sound doctrine. You know, the more Bible you will read, the more sound doctrine you'll know.
Right.
And he said that the aged men be sober. Now, I used to be a drunk.
Yeah.
But I haven't been a drunk since I got saved. I can tell you that right now. So it's been 31 years ago. He said that the aged men be sober. Grave, that means kind of like serious. Temperate, that means, you know, not ready to square off and fight. But temperate means, hey, you can take it and you won't lose it. I've seen some men that can take it better than other men. But temperate means, you know, you're not short-tempered. You're pretty much pretty level-headed. Sound in faith. That means, buddy, if somebody asks you a question, you're ready to give them an answer, the reason, the hope that's in you. In charity, that means, boy, if somebody needs something, they'll say, here, maybe it'll help you a little bit.
Yeah.
In patience, that's one thing we all have to work on. You know how you get patience, Brother Mitchell? You know how you get it? You wait on it.
Yeah,
wait.
Oh, man, you know this song, Phyllis? And it was kind of like the Wildwood. What's that song? Wildwood Flyer, something like that?
Yeah.
It sounded like it. He said, I'm going to sing a song. He's playing the music, Wildwood Flyers. And I thought, okay. And he said, all y'all that know this song, he said, don't sing. Because this ain't what you think. He's playing the music while we're flyers, and he said a man came up to God and he said, God, how much is $1 million to you? And God said, a penny. And he said, how long is 1 million years to you? God said, a second. He said, God, would you give me $1 million? He said, in a second. But you know, you get patience, that means you wait on the Lord. You're a good courage. We just sung that song just any day now. Listen, he may come today and it'd be wonderful. I'm ready to go. I'm wanting to go. I'll leave right now. Amen. But it may be a while. But I'm willing to wait. I'm willing to watch. I'm anticipating the soon coming of the Lord. And when he comes, glory to God, I'm leaving. Hallelujah.
Thank you.
Oh, yeah. He said, patient. The age of women, likewise. Women never tell you their age, so you just throw that in there, age of women. Being behavior of becoming holiness. I like holiness.
Yeah.
I get a blessing just seeing Sister Joanne every time she comes in here. She's got exactly what I'm trying to say. As a woman that becometh holiness. I really get a blessing every time I see it. I seen her over there sitting over there struggling a little bit to sing that song, and I said, ooh, boy, it's a blessing.
Yeah, that's right.
Man, we need to open our eyes. We need to realize, boy, just how blessed we are.
That's right.
We got some good people in this church.
Yes,
we really do. Like I said, never fails. We either come in right with the perfect track I needed. There, man, that one right there, and the one with the butterfly, right on time. Need people like that.
That's right.
And then Carolyn gave me that good bookmarker. Amen. He said that they be sober. Wait a minute. I'm dropped down a verse. Aged women likewise, that they be in behavior of becoming holiness, not false accusers, not giving too much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women to be sober. Man, I wish somebody told my wife, she don't drink, but I wish she was a little bit more easier to get along with, to love their husband. There you go. That's what I was trying to get to.
Amen.
To love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home. I did let her stay home. I said, I'll go out and make the money. You know, I gave her a checkbook. She gave me the menu. She said, just tell me what you want. It'll be ready when you get here.
Amen.
And she still reaches her hand out like a cash register. You gain cash on it. It says, good, obedient to her own husband. Boy, if y'all could teach her that, I'll pay big money. Just name me price.
Amen.
That the word of God be not blasphemed. Young men likewise exhort to be sober-minded in all things, showing thyself a pattern of good works in doctrine, showing incorruptness, gravity, sincerity, sound speech that cannot be condemned, that he that's of the contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say of you. Yeah. That takes years to build testimony. It really does.
That's right.
Does anybody know how long? Does anybody know how long it takes to lose one?
Mm.
Ain't nothing worse. I seen you.
Yeah.
Ain't nothing worse. Yeah, but that one time.
Yeah.
And it's just kind of like a sword in your bones there. It's really important that you live a life.
That's right.
Above reproach.
Right.
That you do live in this present evil world
right.
In such a way that the world can't do nothing with you. You know, they'll give in, they find something on Trump. Evidently, he must have a pretty blueish history because they have dug canyons trying to find a speck of dirt on him. And there's been a lot of accusations lifted up against him. And I'm not going to advocate for him. The best I can tell, it's all been just accusations. It does cause you to kind of wonder, doubt. But I'll tell you one thing, he's still in the Oval Office. That's said a whole lot. He's had everything thrown at him. But listen, that same scrutiny is going to come upon you. I believe as Jesus told Peter, he said, Satan has desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. This ain't no cakewalk, but I promise you this, God gives you all the grace you need to make it all the way.
Amen.
One day we're going to finish our course.
Right.
One day at the time of departure is going to be at hand, Brother Mitchell.
That's right.
Praise God. I want you to know when you say, I fought a good fight, I've kept the faith. Henceforth there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness, whom the Lord will give me, and not me only, but all those that love Him and look to His appearance. I'm looking forward one day to getting out of here.
Right.
Amen.
Amen.
I want to stay on course. James tells us in James chapter 1, verse 22, be doers of the word, not hearers only.
Right.
In Hebrews chapter 5, and I do believe Paul wrote the book of Hebrews. I'm not my pastor there, just because of the way it's written and reading some of his other epistles. I believe he's the one who wrote this. But in Hebrews chapter 5, he says this right here, starting in verse 12. For the time you ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. For every one that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age. That's what growing up means.
Right.
Even those who by reason of use have their senses discerned, their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. When you do mature, you'll learn how to put things where they belong.
Right.
And, you know, somebody might say, well, Brother Eddie, I just can't get nothing out of the Bible. It just don't speak to me. Well, you need to pray and ask God. The Bible says if anybody lacks wisdom, James chapter 1, verse 5, let him ask God, giveth all men liberally, and it shall be given unto them. 1 John chapter 2, verse 27 says, the anointing which you have received of him abideth in you, and you need not that any man teach you. 3 John verse 4. God said, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. We need to grow up.
Amen.
Right.
If there ever was a day when this world needs mature Christians, it's now.
Right.
You know, we got a lot of young people now in Congress, and they're making a mess. I mean, they just don't look at things. I used to be a young person. I was like you, Tavian. I thought I knew it all. But when I got a little bit older, I realized I didn't know nothing of what I needed to know.
Right.
And even though I thought I didn't need no help, I did. And even though I thought I knew something, I didn't know nothing at all about it. And Paul said, when I was a child, I spake as a child, and I did as a child, but when I became a man, I put away childs. I don't buy toys no more. I buy expensive toys. They say they don't do it for you, man. The boys, the price of toys. I bought back old trailers and stuff like that. I play with big toys now, David. But anyway, the world needs us.
That's right. Amen.
To be mature, to be settled, not tossed to and fro.
Take a stand.
Right. We need to somehow be ready to work in the vineyard, to be able to witness to anybody that God puts in our path. Brother Mitchell, I'll say one thing about it. He'll witness to anybody that stands still long enough, and he tell them, I'll be praying for you.
Right.
We need to do that. One thing I'd like this church to do is get your phone up and say, you don't know what you're missing out on. You need to get down to Landmark Baptist Church and get in on this. There's some pretty good stuff going on down there. Just call somebody up and give them a good invitation to come and be in the service. But growing old in the Lord, it's kind of like growing old. Anyway, didn't have no choice. I had to grow. I was 34 years old, should have done got saved. But at least I did get saved. I was a late bloomer. But it wasn't no choice in growing old. I was 34 years old, unsaved. I was in this world and of this world. But now I'm in this world, but I'm not of this world because I have been saved.
Right.
But after you get saved, you need to grow in the Lord.
That's right.
And you need to grow up to that stature of being a soldier for the cross, that you might be able to war against a good warfare. You remember them seven sons of one Cephas there in the book of Acts? They took it upon themselves to cast out a devil that was in a man. You know what that devil said, Rita? He said, Paul I know and Jesus I know, but who are you? I want him to say, Eddie I know and Paul I know and Jesus I know, but who are you? I want the devil to know my name.
Yeah, that's right.
I want him to know, buddy, I ain't no pushover. And you know, we're complete in Jesus. We're not lacking nothing. And we need to grow and we need to go and keep going till he comes for us. Amen.
Right.
But growing old, I do pray that the church will grow up. This is a really good church. It really is. I've been here long enough to know y'all know some Bible. Been here long enough to know y'all know the Lord. Y'all know some things that everybody ought to know. But I've been in other churches. I'm not kidding you. They was going through the motions and they was empty as a cloud. They didn't know nothing of what they needed to know. Now, Father, we thank you for this message. Lord, it may not have done nobody here no good because I believe they're all senior saints of God. But Lord, maybe this message might get out, Lord, to those that do need this.
Yeah.
That they won't, one of the things, Lord, you said in the last days, you said, take heed that no man deceive you. There's a lot of deception going on today. Mm-hmm. I pray, dear Father God, today somehow this message might reach those ones, Lord, in that kind of situation. They might come out of it. And that they might get straightened out. And they might get on that street called straight and get going for God. Well, whatever needs to be done, may it be to your praise and glory. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen.
Amen.
I'd like to ask everybody to stand. I'd like to ask Brother Jerry, please, and Sister Carolyn, get just a verse of invitation to him. If anybody needs to do anything, we'll give opportunity for that. We don't need to do nothing or we'll be dismissed. Amen.
149, the first verse.